just a reflection called How Fragile We Are. Preacher Charles Stanley said this: if we have built on the fragile cornerstones of human hope, wisdom, pride, strength, and conditional love, things may look good for a while, but a weak foundation causes collapse when storms hit, as inevitably they will. I take you back to a time when I was much younger, nearly 50 years ago, well, 50 or more years ago now, actually. It seemed almost inconceivable to my adoring, trusting young mind that he would ever lose. He was my hero, my idol, and I followed him with the zeal of a fanatic. His bronzed, ripped image adorning a boy's bedroom wall, posters galore, magazines, clippings, scrapbooks filled my shelves. I would hang on his every word, and I could recall his record and his many sayings gleefully and with a scholar's ease. If anyone thought he wasn't simply the best, well, I would gladly refute any and all of their arguments with the zeal of an evangelist. During the late nights, when I should have been sleeping, I would bend near to my dad's Grundig World Band radio. You remember those? I would listen eagerly for the reports, wherever they came from, whether it was New York or Kinshasa or Manila or London. When he was victorious, so was I. When he predicted the round in which he would vanquish his opponent, I would luxuriate for days afterwards in this afterglow of his success. It almost seemed as if it became my success. All these years ago, I remember how on one occasion I played truant from school, played hooky, as some people call it, and took a train into central London just to see him and just to stand in a pressing crowd with the possibility of having his book signed and autographed. And when my parents argued long into the night, as they frequently did when I was a boy, what would I do? I would bury myself deep in the adolescent world of my creating and of my comfort. And when on those very rare occasions he did lose a fight, well, I was bereft, disbelieving, devastated even, and depressed, sometimes for weeks. Even my closest friends couldn't understand that kind of idolatry. The great man would retire, and sadly, one day I would have to grow up. And so I would watch him from afar after the days of his youthful pomp. Now the Bible speaks into this. Job, the great sufferer, he said, "Mortals born of woman are of few days and full of trouble. They spring up like flowers and wither away like fleeting shadows. They do not endure. Things may look good for a while." And Isaiah the prophet said, a voice says, cry out. And I said, well, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. Well, Muhammad Ali, as of course you had guessed already, formerly Cassius Clay, the great athlete with the silver tongue and the lightning fists, well, he would become a shaking and a shambling wreck. Never forget that day when he lit the flame at the Olympics going back, I think it was in Atlanta in 1996. And the tears just streamed down my face. In part, I think, because of the loss of my youth and the loss of innocence and, well, the bloom had withered and would one day die. A mere mortal, finally defeated by old Father Time. And even the greatest, self-acclaimed, of course, even he would be subject to life's sad and inevitable truths. How fragile we are. Stay there. I like that kind of joie de vivre. We lose those we love. We suffer. Often we stand by completely and utterly helpless, don't we, as people continue to hurt. And sometimes they continue to hurt one another and abuse one another. We can't find the answers to life's really hard questions, like, you know, why babies die and why I wasn't born in Syria or why I wasn't born in Turkey. How fragile we are, how fragile our understanding, how fragile we feel. Sometimes that can lead to despair. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom, says the psalmist, like a puff of smoke. In vain they rush about, heaping up their wealth without knowing who will finally have it and own it. That's how people live their lives, without a thought to eternity. But now, the psalmist says, what do I do in the meantime? He says, my hope is in you. Because there is something, in spite of our fragility, there is something to hold on to. And the Bible calls it hope. Not whistling in the dark sort of hope, or fingers crossed sort of hope, but hope in God. And the psalmist says, my hope is in you. And that's something that never dies. The poet once said that it springs eternal. But the story of Job, the great poem, paints a picture of the journey which begins with the Lord permitting this man, a righteous man, a prayerful man, a good man, to suffer. And he suffers great loss and hardship. His body hurts, his mind is assailed. He will watch the ones he loves taken away from him in a way which most of us would find deeply unfair. He will watch his wife become bitter and depressed. His friends, who ultimately will abandon him, seem to blame him for the mess that he's in. He must have done something so terrible, they say, and Job, the great persevering Job, says, no. This is not true, he says, and the end of the story will vindicate him. God was with him even in and through his awful suffering. And though removed as he was from every comfort that he knew and weakened by indescribable loss, the man refuses to let go. He will not let go of God. He will not let go of hope. At the beginning of Job, it says this, at all the terrible things that had happened to him, it got up and tore his clothes and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground, but he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, and yet may the name of the Lord be praised." Come what may, the man will trust and believe God. What an example. In all this, and of course the enemy had said to the Lord, Satan had said to the Lord, "Well, Job only praises you, he only worships you during the fair weather, when the climes are good. But in all this," and of course Satan said, "Well, he'll curse your face and turn away from you." But no, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with any wrongdoing. How often we charge God with wrongdoing. And we believe, as Christian people, we believe that God came to earth as a man, the man Jesus. In all likelihood, he was an ordinary looking man, but he chose to come. He chose to come and find out for himself what it was to be a fragile human being. He came for everyone, for the greatest and for the least. He came for you and for me. And we find God in the fragile and the broken so often. In our broken experiences and our sadness and the darkness, often we find the light shining as we sang in the darkness, in a way that it doesn't when the sun is shining, in a way that it doesn't when we're not hurting. We find God in Christ nailed upon a cross. The most vulnerable and fragile experience a human being could have, also the worst, but a place also of power and love and hope, and a place of peace. How strange it is that good things will come from violence. How strange it is that he enters into human suffering, choosing to live and to die as humans do. But the good news is, and the reason we come every Sunday, is this, that the grave could not contain him. And long before it could not hold him, death could not hold him, the grave contained him. And long, long before Jesus ever went to the cross or rose from the grave, thousands of years before, in fact, Job, this man who lived in a primitive society, he knew this. In the face of all aridity and disenchantment, Job knew, and he hoped against all hope. He knew God and never gave up on God, knowing that one day he would be made right, set right, knowing one day he would see everything just as it is, just as the disciples on that first experience of the transfigured Christ, just as they saw a glimpse of heaven and a glimpse of the future and a glimpse of hope in what had been a despairing time for them when Jesus said, "I have to die." But how good he was to show them a vision of heaven and glory. But Job never gave up. He never cursed God. He worshipped and lived for God. through the roller coaster of his life. I only pray that I can do that. My relatives, said Job, have gone away. My closest friends, they've forgotten me. My guests and my servants count me as an alien. They look on me as a stranger. I summon my servant, but he does not answer, though I beg him with my own mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, he says. I'm loathsome to my own family. Here's a man that's, in human terms, is completely lost and fragile. They ridicule me, the little boys. My friends, well, they detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I'm nothing but skin and bones. Remember, he sat on an ash heap with boils that he scratched in his pain. I've escaped only by the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me, my friends, have pity, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me as God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? Absolute despair and fragility. And then here we have some wonderful words, and he says, in his great knowingness, he says, oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. And they were. And then he says this. He says, I know my Redeemer lives, that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Hope. Here is hope. The thing that doesn't die. The thing that strengthens the most fragile soul. Here is the love of God. How did Job know these things? Because God showed him. God spoke to him in the dark. Hope, that thing that strengthens the fragile like us. Love of God, deeper than an ocean. As fragile as we are, we can trust an unknown future to a known God. As fragile as we are, we know that there is no pit so deep that the love and light of God is not deeper still for us. How fragile our understanding. How fragile we are. How faithful our God is.